Amen. John 15, if you have your Bibles this morning, good to be in the Lord's house. Good to have our guests with us this morning. It's a blessing to have them. Be in John 15. And we're looking at abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. John 15. John 15, verses 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house. Thank you, Lord, for all those that have gathered here today at your house. Thank you, Lord, for our guests. Trust they feel welcome and special being with us today. And just ask you to meet with us, ask you to give me the words that you would have me to say. And I trust it to be a help to your people today. And I'll just thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We find ourselves in John 15, not too long before Christ is to ascend back up into heaven. And I do believe that Jesus is telling his disciples that even though he'll be ascending back up into heaven, that they can still have a relationship with him. And if they are to bear fruit, they must continue to walk with him. So in jumping right into the passage in John 15 and verse 1, we read, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. So Jesus is the true vine, and his Father, our Heavenly Father, is the husbandman. So the husbandman does the trimming, does the pruning, does the purging, which means that God is observing the branches, you and I, with a special type of care. And one of the things that he's looking for is fruit. And one of the marks of a true believer is fruit. And notice in verse 2 how God handles the branches. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I think we can see already how God is concerned with fruit and how chiefly concerned he is with fruit. If there's no fruit, there's a problem with that. And if there's not as much fruit as there should be, there's a problem with that. So the branches that are not bearing fruit are taken away. The branches that are bearing fruit are purged to then bear more fruit. So Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And I want to make special emphasis right here, because you and I need to remember, because we'll get back to it, this phrase, every branch in me. Now, emphasis on in me. That's only the saved, those who have been born again. Now, notice that the husbandman observes the branches and not the vine. You see, the vine is perfect. The vine is sinless. Not only is the vine sinless and without sin, it cannot sin. The vine has not even the ability within it to sin. So all the work in this vineyard points back to the branches. Now, we would all agree here this morning, if anyone needs help, it's not Jesus. We would all agree that if anyone struggles with fruit bearing, in this Christian life that Christ is not the problem. The first step of bearing fruit in the Christian life is to recognize that if you are to be bearing fruit and you are not, that you and you alone are the problem. As you have shut off nutrients from the vine, therefore you live a fruitless life. Jesus says this about the branches that are not bearing fruit. In verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Jesus says, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Purgeth means to cleanse or purify by separating and carrying off whatever is impure. It's followed by away or off. We say to purge away or to purge off filth. It also means to clear from guilt or moral defilement. As to purge one of guilt or crime, to purge away sin. So essentially, you're taking away what is bad to send those nutrients to other areas. You've heard the term deadheading. You're getting rid of the dead heads to send nutrients to other places. We have some references here. Psalm 79:9, purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Psalm 51:7, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. So this only makes sense here this morning. When you get rid of what is bad, more energy is being sent to fruit bearing. Now, when we think about purging, purging is hard. Being purged is hard, but it comes with more fruit. And as we've discussed at other times, any type of progress, any type of growth will require some uncomfortable situations. It's going to require some uncomfortable circumstances, but you must decide that the process of purging is worth it. That going through the fire of God is hard, as God is a consuming fire. He's trying to burn up the bad. He's trying to leave the good behind. He's trying to further develop us and grow us and mature us. And the same can be said in our churches. One of the best counsel I was given prior to coming into the pastorate, in hindsight, is that at times God has to purge the church. And don't try and stop God's purging and go after those that God has purged from the church. You're better off without them. God has showed me at times that he's had to remove in order to bring in. Purging's hard. Purging's hard in our own life. Sometimes we don't even realize that something isn't best for us. We've just become attached to it. And the Lord purges it from our life. And then we come to know what God knew all along. But the purging's hard. Sometimes we like things. Sometimes we like things that are even bad for us. We like it. Sometimes we love things that are even bad for us. And then in hindsight, once God removes those things, that even though we like it and even though we may love it because it's bad for us, at times it leaves a hole within our heart because it's something that we held on to. We got enjoyment out of it for as long as we did. There were things when I was coming in out of the Marines from being away from the Lord. I liked stuff I shouldn't have liked. And the Lord said, I want it. I loved stuff I shouldn't have loved. And the Lord said, I want it. It's hard to let go of what you like. It's hard to let go of what you love. But I tell you what, once I let go of the things that I liked that were against God, and I let go of the things that I loved that was against God, it's amazing how in hindsight I was able to look back and say, God, you were right all along. Your system was all right all along. There are things at times that the Lord wants from us. He wants us to give it to him. He wants to purge us from it. We see in verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So we bring forth fruit by abiding. Any Christian that struggles with bearing fruit in this Christian life struggles with abiding in Christ. See, many branches can shut themselves off from the vine. In essence, they become disconnected. They didn't lose their salvation. They're still eternally secure in Christ. They've just closed off the supply of nutrients. Therefore, the vine is not flowing through the branches. And I can stand here today and tell you for a fact, because I've been both, and many of you have also or will be in the future, when you shut yourself off from the vine, you'll struggle at fruit bearing. What fruit, though? The fruit that only Jesus can supply. The fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, fruit's not necessarily coming to church. We don't see that amongst the fruits in the Spirit. Fruit is not necessarily living a life to the best of your ability, not indulging in sin from a life of habit. Fruit's not necessarily giving the tithe or faith promise missions. Fruit's not necessarily having the right Bible or reading the one that you have. It stems from, but not the goal. See, some Christians have learned the rules, but they are a slow producing branch. They never learn to allow the vine to flow through them to produce the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit, again, are these: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And I know enough Christians to know that we can struggle with the fruits of the Spirit. And I know myself enough to know that we can struggle with the fruits of the Spirit. Oftentimes, if we're not careful, we'll love who we like, or we'll love who loves us, or we'll love those who does nice things for us. We'll love those who are considerate towards us. We'll love those who don't cross us. We'll love those who look like we do, who act like we do, who have the same interest. If we're not careful, we won't be exemplified by Bible love. Or sometimes this world just has us in the dumps. Health problems or life in general has robbed us of our joy. What is peace? Sometimes we have the mindset, let's just get mad at each other and fight it out. Instead of being long-suffering with others at times, we're short-suffering. Just one thing sometimes that come our way and we ride others off. We aren't gentle at times, but harsh and brash and at times just straight up rude. Sometimes just being good to people is hard. Faith at times takes a back seat to what makes sense. Faith at times takes a back seat to the idolatry of intelligence. Meekness is hard to come by much of the time, just being lowly and humble. And then temperance. I'm guilty of using the word self-control also, but temperance, it's a fruit of the Spirit. Now, all the liberal translations say self-control, which is an oxymoron. Temperance is spirit control. Self-control has nothing to do with spirit control. So modern translations have robbed the Spirit of one of its fruits, and it's given it to you and I, which makes it something that we can do. They say fruits of the Spirit, which means only walking in Christ, you can do it. Then for temperance, they have it as self-control. If you can only do it with Christ, then you can't do it by yourself, plain and simple. So self is out the window. So be careful not to be deceived to the subtle forms of humanism in these modern translations. If we're to be known by these fruits of the Spirit, we must walk in the Spirit. We must abide in the vine. In verse 4, in the latter part of the verse, it says, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 5, for without me ye can do nothing. I think that'd be something good. I like that. It's a good reminder. To just have it written somewhere. So somewhere where we frequent. Without me, ye can do nothing. What does nothing mean? Nothing means nothing all day long. Nothing means nothing. Without me, ye can do nothing. And Christ is making an emphasis here, saying in two verses in a row, essentially the same thing. You cannot live this life without me. Without me, you'll produce little to no fruit. And without me, you can do nothing. And if we're not abiding in the vine, will lack in the fruits department. And purging will come so that we can bear more fruit. See, some have said before and almost said it discouraged-like, and I get it. They've said, man, I just always have something to work on. And yes, we do. You and I, we all do. There's always something in our life. There's always areas in our life where we're falling short of God's glory. But it's for our continued spiritual growth that the Lord highlights these things to us. It'd be a whole lot easier, I would think at times, to be a preacher if you didn't highlight any areas that we all struggle with. It would be a whole lot easier. People might like you a little bit more. You're not stepping on any of their toes. They might like you a little more. The community might like you a little bit more. But you know what? We don't see where Christ was liked everywhere he went. We don't see where the apostles were liked everywhere they went. If you're going to do right, you're not going to be liked everywhere you go. If you're going to speak the truth, not everybody's going to like to hear it. And I tell you what, it is to some degree a hard road to trod. If you're going to preach truth, teach truth, stand by truth, lead your family according to truth, try and lead out in the community according to truth. Because everybody who doesn't want truth is going to be against you. Going to be against the message. But oftentimes we find ourselves in a place where it's almost defeating. Like, and I remember when I was coming back to the Lord, it was like every service, every message was convicting. Every message. There are some messages that are preached today, and not that I'm perfect at it. I'm just, by and large, through growth, I'm more on the right side of it than what I used to be. But there was a time I'd have wanted to slip out the back door. And there were times I did. I've been honest about my testimony when I was coming back to the Lord. There was times I'd go out the back door, go sit out in my truck. And then through growth and through surrender and the Lord working on me and drawing closer to the Lord and letting go of things, church became easier. Not that I'm never convicted anymore. Oh, I get convicted. Just a little easier. But it's all pointed out, it's all highlighted through Scripture for our continued spiritual growth. The Lord don't want us to stay where we are. He wants us to be growing. He doesn't want us having the same fruit today that we had 10 years ago. We should have more fruit today than what we had 10 years ago. We can know God better when we have less mess in between us and God, because sin separates. When sin is not in between our fellowship with God, our fellowship is better. For those married, would you rather spend time with your spouse when you're upset over something or when nothing is between? And the same goes for us in our walk with God. Sin separates. Sin puts a wedge. And we lack fruit at times because of sin, because sin separates us from the vine, and separation from the vine limits our fruit bearing. People may say today, I've had a love problem lately, or I've been short fused lately, or maybe lacked joy lately. And I ask, what does your connection to the vine look like? Where is the disconnect? Go back maybe a few weeks ago. Go back a few months ago, maybe a few years ago, and figure out where you went wrong. See, some maybe just hadn't been right since that loved one passed, or just hadn't been right since whatever situation it could be. Some just hadn't been right since that unspeakable thing happened. You got to go back to the vine. Sometimes we struggle. I was just telling Sarah yesterday, I said, if anybody needs a good Sunday in the Lord's house, and when I say a good Sunday, I mean the Holy Spirit speaks to my heart because I desperately need it. I said, it's tomorrow. Sometimes you just need it more. It's not that you don't need it any other Sunday. Sometimes you just need it more. You might find yourself in some kind of a deficit. Sometimes we can have things happen in our life, and I'm not exempt, and you just have yourself a little bit of a pity party at times. Sarah called me last night, and I told her, I said, I'm just sitting in the shop looking at everything I can't do right now. Tempted to at 9 o'clock at night on a Saturday, with Sunday coming the next morning, to start working on something. But you know what? Sometimes things happen in our life. It don't make sense because we got things we got to do. We're in a hurry. There's things down the road that I'm looking at that's kind of like, okay, ugh. I like to see as far down the road as I can so that I can make preparations, I can make plans. Things happen at times in our life, and the next step blurs the next 25, 30, 50 steps, the next months. Sometimes folks don't get this at times that have made a wrong turn. They keep walking in the same direction instead of going back. Go back with a renewed connection to the vine and the fruit will begin to return. With that renewed connection, you'll find that joy that was lost, that contentment that was lost. You'll leave frustration behind, anxiety and fret behind, and find the peace that you once knew in Christ. By opening yourself up to the vine, the nutrients flows from the vine to you and through you to produce fruit. In verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. This is a sad thing when a branch shuts itself off from the vine. They essentially walk away from Christ and refuse to abide in Him. Now, we believe in the doctrine of eternal security. This is not a lose your salvation verse, but it is a you have no fruit verse, because you decided not to live in Christ and abide there. I believe this passage is talking about relationally and a refusal to live a life of in Christ. As the Bible says in Matthew 3:10, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12 through 16. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What I believe Jesus is trying to teach his disciples and us also through this passage is if we, the branch, are not abiding in him, we'll be a withered branch, a non-fruit-bearing branch. And we'll be cast into the fire of purification. You know, the purpose of fire is to get you back closer to Christ, to bear the fruit that you are intended to bear. And going back to verse 4 and 5 in John 15, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So without Christ, you can do nothing, nothing of eternal value. All else burns up. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Well, look at the word abide. It means to be or exist, to continue to be, to dwell, rest, continue, stand firm, or be stationary for any time indefinitely. I've said it before, one of the hardest things to do is to abide in Christ. Emphasis on the last part of our verse, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So abiding in Christ, abiding in his word, and by doing so, by having fellowship with him, we can go to him in prayer while with nothing between. It says, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Simply put, I invite you, give your sin to God, ask for forgiveness and cleansing from God. If you're not walking with the Lord and walking in his word, then you don't have the fellowship and you don't have the benefits of continuing, which is asking and receiving. Many people have said, I have this thing I just can't get over. And again, most of us, I dare say, do. Maybe there's times even throughout the day where we just like, you know, there I did it again, or there I said it again, or I was trying to guard myself from this. I had just given this to the Lord. I had just surrendered this, and here I go again. I'm right back at it, or right back doing it, right back saying it, right back listening to it, right back watching it, whatever it could be. Maybe there's something that trips us up. But when we're abiding in Christ and abiding in his word, we have fellowship with him. And through abiding in his word, you're staying in Christ and you're staying in his word. That means to be stationary, to rest. And again, it means to stay put, to stand firm. And as you place yourself in Christ and his word, there will be an attack launched against you. The forces of hell will launch an attack against you. The desires to get you back. Not eternally. Devil knows once you've given your heart and life over to Christ, he can never have your heart. I mean, he can never have you for eternity. He knows that. But he does want you to live this Christian life confused about who your master is. Wants you to be surrendered to him. Wants you to be surrendered to the flesh. And that's what we don't realize. When we're in the flesh, we're used of the devil. When we're in the flesh, we usually don't take it that next step, but we need to take it that next step. Because the devil wants us in the flesh, because when we get in the flesh and get away from Christ, that's when the devil can use us. So it's actually better to say, I was used of the devil rather than I got in the flesh. Just go ahead and take it the step further. I was used of the devil. I was the devil's mouthpiece. Rather than I was just in the flesh. Take it a step further. But the devil seeks to interfere with abiding. The devil doesn't want you abiding in God's word and abiding in fellowship with Christ. The devil wants to get you away from Christ and away from the word of God, because when you're in fellowship with God, you have access to the power of God. If you want victory, we all sin regardless of the sin. Sometimes we get together in our Christian circles and we talk about what sins we don't like and which ones we hate the most and things like that. And at the end of the day, we all just end up describing each other. We think we're being superior, but everybody's been highlighted in the circle. But we think we're in some better class, some better circle of sinners. No. And I've often said, we need to major more on what God hates than what we hate. Need to major more on what God don't like than what we don't like. It shouldn't be said when you leave the church that you know everything the pastor doesn't like, or you know everything that the pastor hates, but you don't know anything about what God don't like and what God hates. Because it ain't the preacher's message. It's God's message. Now, if you want to ask me my opinion and some of the things I like or don't like or hate or don't hate, I'll give it to you sidebar, as they say. Not here. Not at this time. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll major on the wrong things. And you'll have people checking all the pastor's boxes and come to find out they're not checking none of God's boxes. Then you got things backwards. All out of order, out of whack. We all sin regardless of the sin. We need to walk in fellowship with Christ. We need to stay in His Word. By doing so, we can continue in the process of bearing fruit that will remain. Sadly, what happens at times, folks trust Christ as their Savior. Instead of continuing in Christ, continuing in His Word, they continue in their own power, their own strength, their own might, but there's no power there. My question for you this morning is very simple. What kind of branch are you? Because the type of branch that you are will dictate the fruit that you have. And the type of fruit that you have will reflect back to your connectivity to the vine. So I ask you, are you walking with the Lord this morning? Do you have fellowship? Or did you perhaps leave some joy back somewhere and you have to go back and get it? Maybe you left some peace somewhere. Maybe you left love somewhere. We're going to look at this some tonight as we look at just highlighting the good within the world, because people are seeking that. There's enough good out there for us to still talk about. And David discusses that in the Psalms. We're going to look at it tonight. Sometimes we can find, if we become so focused on the evil things that men do, it'll hurt us in the love category when it comes to people. It will. It'll be a detriment to us. It will. We'll find it harder to love people if we focus on all the bad things that they do. And I've said it, even the worst people on the face of this planet has something good about them. Something. Might not be a whole lot, but there's something there that's good. Maybe they tie their shoes right. I don't know. There's something. There's something good. Something good there. Something that could be praised. Maybe you left contentment somewhere. Or maybe temperance. And if you have, I encourage you to get back to the vine. It's from the vine that we can have fruit that remains. Lord, as we come before you, thank you.